They say the drop can't float, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like we will help you get your Z's, true. But here's the real scoop.
You know how it go.
Welcome back. We're back with another episode of Scenario. We back. Matt, what's been going on, my brother?
I'm out here, man. Got a half drink bottle of wine I bought about 5 hours ago. So getting to it. Getting back to the money.
You on them yakking, but you on them whining miles?
Dog, I can't. Shannon Sharp in the last week has exceeded my expectations for everything.
He's exceeded. Yeah. Right. Wine clothes.
Right. Today's wine episode is brought to you in part by red wine and clothes.
And clothes, bro. So we got our guest here, man. He's been on Stroud Locash a million times. It's the first time him on a scenario, man.
Yeah.
One of the best MCs I know. I'm proud to know him. Y'all know him. One of the most downloaded episodes we ever had, man, is the episode where you and Javon clown each other. And then the fifth most downloaded is the rematch that y'all had. Right. And people email all the time, man, I ain't never seen Javon does the stuff. When he said Javon had like cologne bottle. And Javon had no hat on. And he didn't have nothing. Because he usually wore a hat, so he had nothing.
Hey, I've been trying to tell people. We talked about this with Robinson. Hold up. We got Van here. We got vandalism in the building with this man. My man.
What is that?
My man. What's up, dog?
Hey, man. Living life. You know what I'm saying? Being black.
That's a full-time job right now.
As hell.
we was talking when Rob was here about 4 or 5 shows ago. Rob was here. We was talking about how crazy that Jonan table was at movie night. Like the type of cast you had around that table.
Yo, listen to me, man. Like you gotta understand. Like me and Rob, dog, we come from a place where. I remember after like homecoming at Parkway North, because I went to Parkway Central. I was cool with all them in North.
Rob went to North too, though?
Yeah, Rob went to
North. How the fuck you get that? All your friends are fucking from Parkway North. How the fuck
all
is that?
All
you had no friends from Parkway Central.
I can't
you even fucking go to school. Right. You go like the trade school and then like you just be over there.
Cass started to say, listen, me and Rob actually got cool because we went to the same church.
Okay.
So it was me, him, and our boy Jeremiah. So like I had met them at one of our church picnics, and we would just instantly hit it off, and that's how we got cool. Then come find out we were both in the Parkway District.
Okay,
he had invited me to this lock-in, like you city in Parkway North, weird ass combination.
I was at
a lock-in.
I was
they
at
had
that.
A lock-in, dog.
Like, you would think you like a border and maybe
I have no idea.
No, I was there too because I went to U City.
Yeah,
so like
so you were there.
Yeah,
right.
I was there. Well, how it happened is that we were doing lock-ins for U City at the Y.
Okay.
But we're in the same conference, though. So our administrations just got together and just said, let's do it at Parkway North. Because there's no way in hell you're doing a lock-in at U City.
Right, no.
It's just not happening.
No, listen to me. I'm going to be honest with you. That's one of the loudest lock-ins I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Mind you, they had to finesse me in because I went to Central. If you didn't have an ID, you couldn't get in that motherfucker. So it just so happened that like they knew some folks. Like they, you know, a couple of teachers were like, all right, man, he cool. Y'all boss.
He go to Parkway Central, boom, boom.
Yeah, he
cool,
in the district. Boom. Right, exactly. Yeah. So that's how like we all got cool. So that's how I ended up getting cool with everybody at North because I went to that one lock-in.
So you clicked with everybody from that one lock-in.
Hey, from that one lock-in, they was just like, oh, that's the homie. So after school, I would just go up to North and just kick it with all of them. So that's how I ended up getting cool with everybody.
Do you have any friends in Parkway Central?
Absolutely.
I've never heard of it. Everybody be like, yeah, Van. I know Van's in high school. You be doing that. Oh, you went to Parkway North? Like, yeah, I did.
Yo, I do have some homies from Central. I absolutely do have them, but in this situation, a lot of my friends, high school wise, a lot of them come from North.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, North and U City. Them all home.
But yeah, going to the Rob thing with the
but
movie.
Yeah, so was speaking of, man, for folks that probably don't know, movie night was basically, it kind of started as just me and Rob having homies over at the crib, a bunch of drinks, a bunch of chicken, and we pick a movie and we talk about it at the end, dissect it. And then that turned into that, to drinking games, to, okay, the next one we're doing, just invite somebody, bring a bottle, bring some food. It turned into this all-out super social gathering at the spot. Now, bringing up the homecoming thing, the reason why I said that is that me and Rob come from a space where, like, literally after homecoming, it was 10 niggas in the room, and we would just jone for hours till the sun came up. And that's literally what we did. So that's how we got good at it. But even beyond that, it's like, that's the reason why the responses are so quick. Because for hours. We had no TV in the room. We entertained each other by clowning each other. That was funny. Like, we did that for hours. And so that's how we show love. Like, so if you ever come around across me, like, and like we're cool and I say something crazy about you, it's all out of respect. Like, it's all out of love. If I don't talk crazy about you, I don't really rock with you like that. Or I don't know that I rock with you like that. But if I be like, oh, you know what I'm saying, biscuit head ass little dude, like that, instantly, is we fam. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I go. But yeah, that's where they came from, man. Yeah, that and Javon, you know, he just...
You know, he's a master Joner, though.
That's, I mean, dog, he's a comedian. He gets paid to do that. Mm-hmm. That is his job. That's his passion. So he's supposed to be funny and make you look stupid. Yeah. But he know what time it is.
Yeah, though, no, like, but it's so funny. It was like Jordan, though, you know what I'm saying? And he put up numbers and shit. And then it was like that one time, like, he got, like, you know, Mitch Richmond locked him up for, like, the 2 minutes. The 2 minutes. Even though Javon got back up on the horse and it was all good. Yeah, yeah. But that 1 minute, and it was like, Javon was like, man, I shouldn't have wore a hat. He was saying, kept saying, I should have wore a hat. Because he got the cologne bottle off. I fell out my seat. I'm crying because he didn't know. He was stuck with the deer in the head. Like, dude, my head do look like a cologne bottle.
Boy, that your boy head shaped like a bottle of Gucci Guilty. Real life. Like, real talk. Oh, Issey Miyake bottle head.
Yeah, I mean, it was some legendary roasters around that table.
Cream face ass motherfucker.
Like, it was people, like, scared to, like, even come get food off the table because they thought they might get robbed.
Bro, as soon as I see you laughing and you laughing too hard and they had nothing to add into it, I'm clowning you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, they used to say that. Because you find that to me, though. He was talking about, that's why DB wearing them turtlenecks. I'm like, damn, I ain't even wearing no turtlenecks. It was like, you in the fire, though, because I fell out my chair. I put myself in the line of fire. Yeah. I put myself in the line of fire. I shouldn't have been laughing at all.
Man, you had comedians, rappers, producers, actors, actresses, musicians, writers.
If you was there, and then it was a bad part about it, it was an audience there. So, like, you had to show up. If somebody got it cracking off, now you got to make the whole group laugh. Yeah. You got to make everybody laugh.
Yeah, you got to hit everybody.
Or you getting sauced. It's that simple. That's where the pressure comes in at. So, yeah,
we talked about last week a little bit. We said the best Joners from what cities. I said St. Louis. Chicago.
Easy.
I said Detroit.
Easy.
LA.
Because you got LA. LA.
Because D.L. Hughley alone can hold down.
Yes.
I mean, people understand. They don't know D.L. Hughley now. Yes. But D.L. Hughley was the Joner.
D.L. Hughley is a mod. No, LA, because, like, this is the thing. Every state that you, I mean, every city that you name, I know some cats that are monsters.
And then I would say you got the New York in there, even though they will fight. They fight.
Am not going. Matter of fact,
but they don't fight over there no more.
Now I'm gonna say this. I know a couple of really good Joners out of New York as a whole.
Would you say as a collective they don't?
Oh no, I would put them on my list of worst. And there's no disrespect.
Or overrated. You said or overrated. Maybe not the worst, but overrated.
Definitely overrated because their level of what humor is a whole lot different than other people. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is that you have to keep in mind.
It's, like, not universal.
It's not universal. But what I'll say is, right, the culture in New York, just people itself, they're a bit more abrasive than your average human. So things that they say and talk, you know, so how they talk and how they speak to each other is already kind of... You know what I'm saying? And so it's like already being that aggressive, I'm already kind of used to it. But then it's like you're doing that and you're trying to be funny, and it's like I'm not sure
what's going on.
You know, it's like, you know, like they'll sit there and be like clowning each other, like, oh yeah, nigga, suck my dick. And it's like, whoa, fighting.
Yeah, and that's a little
bit. You crossed the line right there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
if you were
to do that to somebody at the crib, like, and you just let that come out your mouth, you're probably gonna get stolen. Like, that's just kind of how it is. It's a weird, you know what I'm saying, kind of like, it's like, but not to say that there aren't, like, super hilarious dudes from Joan there, but just as a collective, I've had
Joan. So you think Philly would have more funny Joners than New York? Like, who was there?
Easy.
Or D.C.? Like, what? I get, like,
I'm D.C. needs to be on that. Yeah. You want to talk about some cats who know how to clown? What a Joan? D.C. gets slept on in that one. D.C. got some cats who get busy with that.
Like, look for your creatives, man. Because, like, most of the time, if you got a bunch of creative people coming from a place, you can probably get flamed.
Because he was trying to say Atlanta, and I was saying Atlanta, no, because most people that are in Atlanta aren't from Atlanta.
They're a lot of the cats are all transports.
Yeah, so, but I mean, also, the regular Atlanta cat is not a Joner.
Mm-mm.
Like, your guy that's born and raised in Atlanta is not a Joner.
Hey, it's some funny chicks down there, though, because they fed up.
Oh, shit. But they ain't from there either, though.
No, it don't matter what all dudes. Look, he's trying to give you some more to drink, man. All
right, no. I'm just saying because I was going to kill it. I'm going to give you some before I kill it.
I got you. Yeah, man. Cass got me on his vodka and crane up in here, man. So excuse me for anything that I say on the show.
The next episode of the scenario, the first one is sober. The next one is sober will be the first one that's sober.
But, yo, like, I don't know, man. Like, this is really, really cool. Like, I appreciate y'all having me, man.
Yeah, dog. Maybe we're trying to get you on for a minute.
Hopefully I can, you know what I'm saying?
We got a lot of different
stuff. I went to Glow, what, 2 weeks ago, and, like, I booked, like, 3 shows. I was like, this is great.
Oh, listen, that was the move, man. Glow, like, dog, last week it was a family reunion.
Yeah, man. I didn't even know how I was going to go. I was drunk. I did a lot of stuff. I said a lot of serious stuff to people I shouldn't have been saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about bad, where I was on some chick. I'm talking about like, hey man, you owe me like $20 type shit. Like, I see you in the group. Like, I'm trying to collect type shit. Yo. One of my homeboys like, dude, man, I owed you $20.
Right.
And I was like, damn, I did? Like,
well, do you? That's the thing you say. You say, "Well, dude."
He's like, "I do, man." But dude, that was in 2009. I'm like, "Do you want me to screw this? Send me through the Cash App."
Dog. Hey, first of all, there's no statute of limitation on bread. Like, stuff might drop off your
No, I think it's $20 over though. I think under $20, you got to call that a.
It depends on the condition on which that money was.
Or how much money what tax bracket you in?
I'm gonna say this right. I give folks maybe probably like a good month.
Yeah, but for how much though?
I mean not even a good month. Like, dude, if it's something like minute, and forgive me for sounding this way, but like $20 or something like that. Like,
that ain't shit.
I ain't tripping. But we're talking about like
if we got three numbers in it.
Yeah, we got three numbers in it.
Nah, you owe that.
You owe that.
Off the strength, you owe that, and you know you owe that.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't even a situation where you
like $20. You like, oh but shit, I'm gonna get them on some drinks when we go out again.
Right, you know you are.
You ain't gonna buy me enough drinks for $100.
But everybody got that. Speaking of scenarios, everybody got that homeboy that you know you got to be careful for. If you just say, hey, I got him, you know,
because he gonna go hard on your shit.
Because no, not on your tab. Like, you get him at the door and you like, I bet you gonna get drinks, and then you be having to like hold on to him like you went skating together. And you gotta like figure out a way to be like, hey, so are you gonna pay me back
go all night? Motherfuckers like, yo.
That's the thing, dog. Like, cause I've been that homie. Like, I didn't go sit here and flex, but the key to this situation is being upfront and being honorable. At the end of the day, like, it's just being honorable. You already know the play. You already know how this supposed to go. They got you, man. It shouldn't even be a conversation.
Yeah.
If you got the guap, get drinks.
Yeah.
Really that simple.
Absolutely.
That simple. But if you ain't got it and your boy holding you down, you need to let him know, I ain't got it. Like that. But like, as fam, I'm going to hold you down and vice versa. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody ain't always up all the time. Yeah, but it's just all about the communication. But if you do have cats who do take advantage and be like, I just know my nigga got me.
Oh, and the ultimate test of that was back in the day, more years ago than I want to recognize now, when you'd be in the drive-thru and somebody would hit that drive-thru when you at the thing and then be like, Hey, hook me up on about $5, dog. I only got about $5, $10. You'd be like, what? What? Come on, dog. Like, you done ordered a whole value meal and something on the side. Yeah. But
and something for your girl at the crib, though. Like, I got you. I'm good for it.
Like, how you gonna eat all that?
Oh, and then, you know, that they came to the crib, you know, I'm looking out for you and shit, though. Right. This chick, though, like,
and see, that's the thing. I'm like, I know cats like that, but I've just never been that dude. Maybe it's pride or something.
It's pride, man. It's probably,
I just, I'll go hungry. And it's not decency. To say that my dudes wouldn't hold me down. They would, without question. But it's just, like, I feel more comfortable helping them than me.
Me too. I'm a giver, not a taker. Like,
exactly.
Because I want other people to shine. I get happy off other motherfuckers like, yo, my nigga D hooked me up with this.
Right.
Or did this, though. Two fucks if I get... I'll get it back in the whole osmosis of what the game is in life, man.
It comes back like that. I wasn't missing it like that. You know what I'm saying? My folks enjoyed themselves, so they got whatever it is that they needed for that moment. So,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We blessed. Like,
and it was some real shit. I don't know if y'all remember the song, Do You Like the Way by... Carl Santana, CeeLo, and Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
On that Supernatural album, which is kind of overrated. But anyway, it's got some joints on there. It got some crazy joints on there. And CeeLo has a blend. He's like, if you want to get, if everything is relative, if you want to get, then give. that always stayed in my head from hearing that. Like, okay, if you want to get anything in life, you got to be willing to get something.
I mean, you have to sit back and think about that, man. I mean, it's like a full glass of water, pouring more into it. You're not getting none of that shit that's been poured in. You know what I'm saying? Something's leaving. So,
and your cup is only so big.
Yeah, your cup is only so big. You feel what I'm saying?
Never mind.
That's what I'm saying. It's like your cup is only so big. It's just sitting there pouring something into an already full glass, man. It's leaving you already. And it's going in places that it shouldn't go. You're not getting anything.
And then that's when you get the motherfuckers get the tricking. No, I have a theory about that. I feel like you're not like a generous person in general, like in life, to like general people, that you, that's when you get the tricking.
Listen, he just sang this right.
I think you like going to the Olympics for the triple jump off of that one.
We gotta give a shout out to all our listeners that have shown love. This is the highest download episode of the scenario.
Which one was it?
It's this, the Shannon Sharp $2.
Oh, was it?
It's the highest download episode of the scenario. We got mad tweets. We got mad emails. People are just like, yo, they got a hashtag Shannon Sharp $2 bill. So if you go to petition.org, it's hashtag Shannon Sharp $2. You can vote for Shannon Sharp to be on the $2 bill that you never initiate.
I'm gonna go vote on that.
Yeah, no, I
voted from four different computers though, because I got like over here for the gigs on different IP addresses on them. But no, shout out to everybody listening, man. I do like a lot of love, man, on that episode, man. We'll read some more emails next week because we got a good guest, man. So I'm not even gonna we'll hold off on that, man. But
talk to
you got some topics for us, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's things going on, man. Before we get to Van, man.
This trigger is getting out of hand, though. What I thought was just regular doing shit. Y'all cast is going like to the umpteenth level. Before you go to, I want to talk about this baby video. Did you see the baby video that just came out? Baby. He did baby from Cash Money.
No.
Did a live Instagram. What? Just trying to cuss out everybody that was been hating on him.
Oh wow! So that's why Rick Ross just went off.
Yeah, he's some on Ross here, but he was like, y'all niggas is gay. For getting a Rafe, a bitch only get a Rafe. He's like, I'm gonna go get my bitch a Rafe right now. And I'm like, Tony Bryce, you fell off so much. Every time he kept saying, my bitch gonna get this. And I was like, yo, man, Tony Braxton, man, like,
baby, look like he's
went so low. This is the, like, I almost want to delete my music of Tony Braxton on my iPod.
Baby looked like he's sleeping.
Except for 7 whole days.
He looked like he's
7 whole days.
Then I'm on the drum line now.
Baby looked like he's sleep with his mouth open. Like, and like Tony Braxton just be rolling over and doing that. And then you just be like, Tony Braxton, why you here? Why baby got his mouth open taking a nap?
Just listen, man.
We'll get into that in the trigger.
We'll get into that.
But I just want people to know that, man.
That was really bothering you, wasn't it?
No, because he was like, y'all niggas that think I ain't motherfucking taking care of every nigga I didn't fuck with on Forbes list. I'm like, but no. They were really Wayne's artists, am I right? If they're Drake.
I'm sorry, I can go pull up the Forbes right now, but I bet Young Turk's not on there.
No, they didn't give a shout out to Turk on the video.
Listen,
he said, shout out to Turk. You out there handling. I'm like, Turk just won like a lawsuit for like $2 million or something?
He did, but the crazy thing about it, if I'm not mistaken, he did just go ahead and sign back over to Cash Money.
Wow.
Shout out to Love to Turk, man. The problem in that whole situation, bro.
Juvenile did the same shit, though, too.
Not even that, dog. Manny Fresh should be absolutely one of the most wealthiest human beings.
He changed the sound. He changed a whole bunch of shit.
Just being absolutely actual factual. Keep in mind the type of deal that Cash Money signed with Universal. The deal that they signed was so revolutionary that you literally right now as an artist cannot sign it.
I thought it was the Master P deal that was the one that's more revolutionary. Oh,
Cash Money was the one.
Their deal was better than the Master P.
Master P paved the road for the shit.
Okay.
Cash Money like capitalized off of that. And was it Wendy Day?
Wendy had to sue them to get their money because she facilitated the deal.
Dude, they were pocketing 100% of the profits off of after recouping from all the manufacturing of all of the money that they were making. Now, keep in mind, you're talking about Manny Fresh producing 100% of their music and all of it is sample free.
So ain't nobody getting cut.
Keep that in mind. And this is we're talking about in the days where first week platinum, double platinum, triple platinum, you shipping singles, all this type of stuff, and you have literally one producer making all of the music of every artist on your label. Think about this now. Think about, like, case in point right now, Beast by the Pound ain't broke.
No.
Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Beast by the Pound ain't broke. We were just talking about this at the crib. I mean, Moby Dick ain't broke. Yeah, Moby Dick's not broke. KLC's not broke.
God bless both
like,
of them.
Exactly.
Too.
Like, keep
it's
in mind.
It's one more too.
Yeah, I can't.
Because he didn't really get out.
I ain't gonna go that far. Listen, Beast by the Pound did what the fuck they was supposed to do. KLC was one of my favorite producers coming up. Straight up.
Moby Dick was dope too.
But to say that, Master P made so much money, and we were talking about this. Master P made so much money in the 90s, early 2000s, bro, that. Dude, we're talking like Master P ain't never got to do shit musically ever again in his life.
This ego.
There was a point, bro. When we was in high school, my dude, when you would see that there was a different No Limit release that came out every week,
you just bought it.
Instantly bought it
without no single.
You had no idea who this person was. You had no idea what their song was like. None of that.
And see, here's the funny thing about that. I was just in my old room I grew up in, like last weekend, trying to find something over at my mom's house, and I looked at my CD rack because that was a thing back then, and that room is like some semi like a museum of a kid
it's just sitting
that
the
was
way
born in like the
when you went to college it's sitting the same
well,
way
no I mean it's right. just it's like a museum of a kid that grew up in the 90s you know what I mean so like I looked at it and I've got like 8 colors of No Limit album sitting right there, like blue, orange, green, white, like all of it.
Pixel covers and
all that. And like, here's the thing: like, you'd buy that album every Tuesday. I'd go down to Streetside Records and buy that album every Tuesday, and the first song would be fire. The first song on every No Limit album is
it is
fire.
No, because it's usually a posse track.
Because it's a posse track.
You had that P or Silk. And
then it broke down, and Mia X or Fiend or Mac jumped in in the middle of the song.
Speaking of, bro, The Rock Show by Fiend is one of my favorite records of all time that nobody talks about. But
Fiend is one of my favorite cats. He's the unheralded person on
Yo, listen, I love Fiend. Love Fiend.
You can tell I'm a Soldier is my favorite track that cats don't really talk about.
Yo, listen to me, man. Mac, all those cats, man, dude. Nolan was dope. But saying that to say. Manny Fresh, if you look at the body of work, and we're talking about across the lines of, like, let's say, if you look at, like, a Jermaine Dupri will never be broke.
No.
Off of, and we're not talking about just the entire body of work of a JD. We're talking about certain songs. He will never be broke because of this record. Manny Fresh has a gang of records like this. Like, case in
bling, point. Bling.
Case in point. Back that ass up. Alone?
Do you think he ain't got no royalties on that?
I'm not saying that Manny Fresh is broke, because Manny Fresh isn't broke.
No, he's not broke, but he's not as rich as he should be.
No. And that's the reason why. He said that's the reason why they don't talk to each other, because, dude.
But you know what? You know the track he said he got to pay the most off of? Guess the track he paid the most off of.
What was that?
That fucking Young Jeezy track. He said that's the track he got the most money off of.
I believe it. But
that boom boom clap on that first Jeezy album.
I believe it, because he wasn't with Cash.
Yeah, he was on his own. Stuff.
He was seeing his half off of that. You feel what I'm saying?
Getting his royalties, getting his everything.
Right? He was seeing his
I mean, by all accounts, if you looked at it, man, Fresh should easily be top 5 most well-compensated producer of all time.
Easily. And we're talking about in music history now. We're not talking about, like, just rap. Mm. We're talking about literally in music history for an entire
he should be top 10 music history easily.
Easily. Because if you sit back and think about how many, like, if you could
like, who should be number one? Who should be number one? Number one and number two, you're talking about
you're going to some different thing because
you're talking about Burt Bacharach.
George Martin.
You gotta put a cap on it. You gotta say post-70s then.
No, I don't do it by timetable.
We're talking about like in the history of music, you have to keep in mind, even in the history of music as a whole, as popular music as we know.
You have a bunch of producers, right?
You have a bunch of producers, you have a bunch of composers, but you have some who literally like had their hand in the time. Like if you name the 60s, you name the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, there are certain producers that you can pinpoint and be like, oh, this was that dude. You feel what I'm saying? Or this woman. Like, as writers or producers, there are certain ones.
They could put me and you on the track.
And that's the reason why I say Burt Bacharach, right? He's one of my favorite producers, composers. Reason being is because you have to keep in mind, you know Burt Bacharach records and didn't know that Burt Bacharach wrote that.
Shit.
you seeing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head and hear that, and you know that record and don't realize that that's a Burt Bacharach record, or Say a Little Prayer for You and you know that, like, you don't know that, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. he has yeah. those songs. Those songs have transcended him, and like, and will continue to when we die. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? Like, those songs will still be songs that are prevalent to music. That's the type of stuff that I'm talking about. Now, when you get into the history of hip hop and importance in there, like case in point, look at how many records Cash Money sold.
So I got a list here.
They're the highest selling record label, rap record label of all time.
Right? I got a list here according to the richest.com, the top five richest music producers of all time. Number one is Rick Rubin. Number two is Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. Number three is Barry Gordy. Number four is Dr. Dre.
Hold up. I want to take Barry Gordy out though, because he was on. He was putting his name on some nigga shit though. He was getting a little nigga named Terry on the corner. You gotta take Barry out of it, because Barry's putting his name on some shit.
Check this out. Shout out
and Dre too. You gotta take.
No, I'm not gonna go that far.
Because that's too much of that shit though.
I'm not gonna go there. Listen, I'm not gonna take Dre out. This is what I'm saying. Barry Gordy, God bless the Funk Brothers. You don't know anything about the Funk Brothers, there is a documentary called Standing in the Shadows of Motown.
Yes, sir. I've never seen this. Yeah, that's why I said you got to take Barry Gordy off the top.
Listen to me. Standing in the Shadows of Motown is an amazing documentary talking about the actual jam band that is pretty much behind every song of Motown that you love.
One time for James Jameson.
Bro, listen to me. I just found out that that man played all those bass lines with one finger.
Yep.
Did not know that.
Three best bassists of all time. James Jameson, Paul McCartney, and Bootsy Collins.
I'm going to say number one because the man...
No, Jameson's number one. Yeah, Jameson's number one. I'm just saying top three.
Matter of fact, he's number one, the reason being, because I'm confident that that man and his bass lines influenced those other two in the top three.
I think the thing also to be careful with when you look at producer can be defined variously too.
It can.
Because producer can be looked at as album, as a label head too in some regards.
That's what Barry Gordy comes in.
Listen, but I'm going to say...
So Quincy's
like
not in that?
No, Quincy's definitely in this. And I'm going to say it like this, right? Check it out. Because as a person who produces as well as I do the, you know what I'm saying, like the rap and all of that. Right, I rhyme and all of that and sing, whatever. The thing is that, number one, Quincy is a musician. Yes. Point blank period. It came up as being a musician. Me being certain things that I can play, there's certain things I cannot. But I hear shit in my head. So if I give that person who plays the piano well this direction, and I want them to play this, and I give that person playing the bass the direction, and I want them to do this, and everything sounds how I envisioned it, that's producing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, okay. Technically, like, and I mean, it
was. But no, that's his producing, though. I'm saying Barry Gordy just come in on some puffy shit, like, oh shit, yeah, I need to get my name on this shit. No, Barry Gordy's the first puffy. He is the first puffy.
Who does?
Nobody wants to say that. Nobody wants to say that.
It's not even that. Coming ass.
You are angry.
I'm angry. I need some more, though. I'm angry.
It's not even that, but see.
Because I think Barry Gordy, though, just because.
But even on that end, bro, I respect what Barry Gordy gave us.
Oh, no. Business-wise, I'm talking production.
But that's the production end of it. Like, case in point, you doing some shit like what Diddy did. Him seeing, because he, you know, did all this shit at Uptown and all of that. Mm-hmm. Him seeing Big and seeing the type of music he was making and the shit that he was rapping about. And then for him to be like, bro. We
flip this shit.
Not even that, like, dog, you need to rap on Between the Sheets by the Isley Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, that's production. I don't care what you say.
You need to do Juicy. You need to do
That's what I said. I don't care what you say. As much as he might have not touched that beat machine, that's production. If I look at you and I see something different and I say, dog, I hear how you rapping, but if you do it like this,
I've never thought about
this. And then put it over this, that shit'll pop.
I'll put it this way.
That takes vision, my dude. And not every producer has that. Every producer has, like, there's certain folks who have ability. But there's a lot of people who don't have vision.
To your point with that, that's a good point to make, because while I've never produced music in my life, I have produced.
I always default to somebody.
Well, no, I mean, but I have produced mass media before.
Yeah, me too.
And like, what happens in the case is that the creative process, even on a day to day basis of putting something together, can involve all sorts of different people. Yes, like, the crazy thing about it is when you think about something that happens, I mean, somebody else's idea that's just sitting around there, they'll be like, yeah, what'd you think about doing this? And then you go take that and then run that. Hell, technically speaking, they should be listed as a producer on there. But a lot of times people just ain't about that. You know what I mean?
And that's my thing, I guess, because the purist in me you need to be hands in. You
need that's what I'm thinking on my mind.
Right, you need to have your hands dirty. Yeah. But I feel like that it should be a different label towards those folks. Like, because at the end of the day, you have a bunch of people who are ridiculously talented on this planet, but have zero vision as to their abilities and what it is that they can do. And that's the beauty of certain people.
Isn't it kind of an A&R then?
But see, that I mean, it is also A&R, but some A&Rs do get producer credits. So you'll get as executive producer because the executive producer the A&R is literally the
well, overseer. Well, look at Jimmy Iovine. I mean, I think he would be a perfect example of that, but he also produced entire albums as well.
But that's the thing. Even with Jimmy Iovine, even if you look at, like, the Defiant ones, case in point, like, you look at the Defiant.
Can we talk about that for a bit when we get...
Amazing.
I also want you to settle the debate we've had, though, after you do Jimmy.
The Defiant ones is amazing, but he came in as an engineer. Engineering, truth be told, is a form of production. And a lot of people don't realize or do not give credit to the engineer because... A lot of times when we as artists are in the studio and we're creating, we're, you know, rapping, singing, this, that, and the other. Somebody's making the beat. They put the singing over the beat. And then it's like, all right, mix it. Let me tell y'all.
The most famous engineer that the only reason he doesn't even produce is probably Guru, right?
Young Guru.
I'm talking about hip hop, because he was producing those too, though.
Yeah, in hip hop, I'll say that he's the
like
most
he's the only
famous
engineer. He's the most famous engineer.
Right, but let me tell you something. A lot of y'all don't realize this. The entire process of music creation, the hardest part is mixing. It's not the producing the record. And this is coming from someone who does all of those things. I write. I rhyme. I sing. I produce. I mix. I master. And this is not out of choice, just because, like, literally, it's kind of one of those things. Like, if you want it done well, you do it yourself.
So,
but you also know
that some fucking what they call them when you want to do everything yourself, though. Like,
it's not egotistical at all.
It's very egotistical.
My wife had to
tell me that I'm egotistical about that shit, though. Everything yourself.
I'm gonna tell you this, bro. If I had the money to pay people to do all of that shit, it wouldn't even be a cop. Because this is the thing.
I said the same thing to my wife. She said, but if you had the money, though, you'll be like, well, shit, I already know how to do it anyway. And I ain't doing shit. No, because she's like, you'll be like, you ain't doing shit. Well, you'll be like, I just go down there and do that shit myself.
Check it out, right? Like, and not to say that there wouldn't be times where I still wouldn't do it, because I would. But the thing about this is
micromanaging.
It's micromanaging. That's why I just said, keep in mind, I'm very meticulous. I'm very particular about what it is that I want to do. And it was only certain people that I would trust with that, but I'm okay with trusting them if I could afford them. Let's just be honest. Like, I can't afford Young Guru.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's something that I had to learn. But with that being said, the mixing process, kind of to explain to people, when you're just saying things into a microphone over a beat, it isn't just a person sitting there listening to it and like, oh, yep, that's good. Let's put it out. Right. No, that person has to figure out the levels of all of the different instruments within the beat, as well as your vocals, how your vocals will sound over that, maybe your overdubs, ad-libs, things of that nature. They have to be able to do different types of panning, different effects on every different instrument. And they have to do all of this shit and basically take this thing that you just rapped over or you just sung over and actually make it something that people will want to listen to for 3 whole minutes and still keep their attention. That takes a lot of work. And so that takes that person listening to this one song for 16, 20 hours. And so finally they figure out this is what it is that sounds good. This will make the people dance.
But then at the same time,
that's
so
hard.
Engineer is a fucking lost art form in there. Because we are all kind of bullshit when motherfuckers just come out and just.
I wouldn't say it's a lost art form. It's an underappreciated job. They get paid well. Don't get me wrong. In fact, the engineers get paid well, but they get paid well because they realize it's extreme how tedious their job is.
Well, and here's the thing also.
So is that job bulletproof wallets?
I will say that. Like, truth be told, if you're a good engineer, like this is.
Yes, and that's the point. That's the point I wanted to make right there. Is that the thing about it is if you're a great engineer like that, you get hooked in and they don't let you go.
So
to wrap this thing back around to where we started when you talk about James Jameson and those guys like that, there's a reason why they were the house band for Motown.
Absolutely.
Because They weren't letting them go. Hell I mean, no. They're the most underappreciated musicians.
Nobody
of all
knew.
Time.
All you knew at, was at the Stevie. Time. Yeah, all at you knew time. Was that Stevie, Smokey, and Marvin wrote them records.
And what's home? What the other light skinned dude though that fucking wrote? He ended up writing.
Bohan, I forgot.
No,
dude, we're talking
dude,
about
dude that Rolls Royce. He left and got.
Rolls I know. Royce. I know you're talking about. I can't think of his name. I know you're talking about though.
He died early though too though.
I know who you're talking about.
He was the dude that played by what's
God his? Forgive us for whoever it is that we
dude,
forgot.
No, he's dope and he's dope because he wrote all that shit for all the temps.
Yeah,
everybody know.
Absolutely.
But here's the thing. Here's the awesome thing about music history, and then we can kind of back out of this is that
we got to finish the debate that we had.
Well, yeah, but I want to get to that. But I just want to make this point before we got there is that the awesome thing is when you look through music history and like if you look at who was working on what album and then see how those people grew up to make to do other things and then those people spawned other people, like once you get in, and the thing about this is why I tell people don't ever be afraid of doing the grunt work, because the grunt work can end up with you being, you know, the biggest star of them all.
That's
you know
the, that's
so
the magic.
Like there's the thing is like, you know, if you're working on one album and you get the experience doing that, people are going to look at the liner credits on that and say, well, do liner credits still exist? But I
no,
mean at any point
they do. That's the thing.
So it's only music geeks that look at
but the thing I say about that is the user geeks are the people in the industry though, so the people in the industry are going to want to know who it is.
Be like, oh, who
don't care. The most overrated thing to me on earth is public acclaim. Fuck that. I don't want public acclaim. Sure. I want for people that make the decisions to know I'm good at what I do. Because then that's the quickest route for you to become the person. And that was the point, the biggest point that I think came out of both sides of the Defiant ones was showing how you have to do this work to get that exposure. Dre was a little bit different because he got the people behind him quickly. Iveen worked.
Came from nothing.
Yeah, exactly. It was two people of two different colors that came from nothing, absolutely, to get there. And I think that because Dre sound grabbed people, and people were just like, we've never heard. Like, Dre, Iveen did the grunt work. Dre's a prodigy on a level of
sound, like,
the rarest level.
He had a product. Listen, he had a product. This the problem, and it's not to say that like to down anything with Dre. Like, no, Dre had a product, and what he did was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, oh yeah, I'm an engineer, and just come up from the ranks. Iveen didn't go to school for that shit. It wasn't no full sale back then. And not to knock anybody that goes to full sale. No, that's what you're supposed to do. There's schools that teach you what Iveen had to grind to even get into the lane to even do.
But he had to grind for years, though, to get what
they did. But he did it. And the thing is that you don't hear about that. Like he said, doing the grunt work is going to eventually lead to that move. Like, case in point, man. Folks that know me know that I'm a big Silvers fan. I will tell you all the time, I'm Silvers over the Jackson 5. All day, every day. Yes. Huge Silvers fan.
I'm going to dispute you because I've got more of an affinity to the Jackson as I've got older.
That's wild. But
now, what's so crazy is I've actually got an affinity towards some of the fucking obscure tracks.
See, that's the crazy shit.
Like Torture.
But that...
Like that Torture joint?
Listen to
that me. That shit go... Like, listen to that shit in your whip.
Listen
it
to
go
me,
hard.
Listen to me, dog. You're one of the few people that fuck with B-side Jacksons. The majority... Like, real... not to say that this shit's not jamming. What I'm saying is that if you hear somebody talking about the Jackson 5, they gonna say, I want to be where
they
you
gonna,
are.
Yeah,
ABC... Rock and Rob, they gonna let that come out their mouth, but they not gonna give you the B sides. The problem with this is that
a minute and 15-second motherfucking intro.
I challenge everybody listening to this: just go listen to the Silvers. Tell me that jams did not come up out of them, and tell me that these cats were not as great, or if not greater than the Jackson 5.
So you ain't fucking with the Osmonds.
And beyond that, God bless Leon Silvers because that man banded up with. What's my boy that hosted Soul Train?
Don Cornelius
was producing for Solar, which was Don Cornelius'
record label. Which opened up the whole
game. He gave us Tonight by Shalamar. I don't care what nobody said.
Shalamar was their first group on Solar.
Was their first group. You have to understand, Leon Silvers gave us classic records, even beyond what the Silvers actually created. And they stopped using him as a producer and as a writer because of the stuff that he was making was entirely too political. They was talking about real shit in them songs.
You know another guy we talk about? talk about people that influenced an era of sound and like took a unique sound and just made it kind of be an influence for an era that doesn't get that big producer push, but he did a lot of the work, was Prince.
Yeah, listen, check it out. Speaking of this, right? Listen.
Because you know how many songs he gave away that he could have just kept himself?
I mean, you have to
keep it. That's an endless song. That's probably a whole blog post.
Bro, we can talk about that all day, man. Like, I've had the absolute honor of not only speaking and meeting and hanging around Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
See, that's something I would like to do.
These
you recorded at Flight Time?
Yeah, these dudes have...
Is it in Minnesota, right?
No, Flight Time in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, okay.
Yeah, these dudes have more, and this was the light work. They got more Grammys in Flight Time, just in Flight Time now, than you got cups in your crib. And then with all of them, I held one that they had for Janet Jackson in their studio, bruh, and was literally trembling. Like, this did not feel right.
Yeah.
Like, why am I holding
Because this ain't mine, no. This ain't mine.
But not even that this ain't mine. Nigga, Janet Jackson touched this because y'all motherfuckers made this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the land machine that you made fucking Pleasure Principle on and Control. I'm looking at this bitch right now, dog. In the land machines back then, ain't like the MPCs where you could record your loop of you. No. Fucking Jimmy Jam is playing boots, 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 live. 4 minutes. And he's playing it
the whole time.
The whole time, dog. Like, this, you have to keep in mind with this, like, I'm looking at a history right here in this state-of-the-art studio, and this nigga got this limb right here next to this console, like this shit wasn't made.
I feel that, man.
Like, this machine older than me, my dude.
I feel that, man, because when I was over in England and I went to Abbey Road Studios.
That's crazy.
And I was like, this is not, everybody's walking across the street, they did on the album. But right. I'm in the spot.
You in the spot where the creativity where they was
did.
Created.
Like, you can't go into, like, the studio that they did because it's still a working studio now.
Yeah.
But, like, you're walking in basically the place they walked into when they made Sgt. Pepper. Right. Or when Pink Floyd made, you know, it's the Money and all of those crazy ass songs on that. Dark Side of the Moon. You know what I mean? Like, Kanye did a whole thing that, like, the people that walk in that space, it gives you a different energy.
That's what I'm saying, dog. The energy there. Don't get it confused. Like, people don't get it. They usually just walk in the studio. No, when you walk into a studio where greatness was created, you feel it. Because clearly something within them in that studio, whoever that great was that created that stuff there, you're going to feel exactly that. And if they played that song or that album in that same space, you're going to feel just like they felt
when they first heard it.
It is, dog, that shit never... This is
so
like,
also, this is the question we have. Yeah. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, are they engineers as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, dude, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did every fucking thing. Beyond the fact of being producers, they were also engineers. They did all of that shit. Saying that to say, dog, like, I just had a conversation, had this huge debate, dude. Listen to me, man. And Roland Martin went off on 72 tweets directed towards me today.
Wow.
Today. No bullshit. And he did it because I made a statement saying that I love Prince. I love what he's done for music. I respect that man for what he's done for music. But I'm not one of those big... Everything Prince made is absolutely phenomenal.
I think I agree with you. You saying Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis has more stuff that relates to you.
Absolutely, but that's just the Minnesota sound. This is the thing, and then you have to keep in mind that the reason why I brought up Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis is because Prince was that Minnesota sound that shaped music,
dude.
I was
one of my favorite singers, Alexander O'Neal. That's what that shit's fucking doing.
Dude, listen to me, bro. Like, that shit shaped music. So for me to ever disrespect Prince would be disrespecting actual history and music. Yeah. And I would never do that. But I'm not going to sit here and
ask you. So what was your direct tweet? How did your tweet get the fucking...
My thing was, like I said, dude, like, as far as... Like,
this is how the celebrities... Hey, Matt, this is how celebrities are. Their tweets get the fucking random.
Listen, I said, like, as far as, like, there's, like, 10 records to me that... I'm sure that there's more. I was just shooting a number out there. That I'm like, yo, this is my shit from Prince. And that's not to say that this man ain't got classic albums to people, or that certain songs are not classic, or certain projects aren't classic. To me personally, there are certain records out of maybe every one of those songs that are absolutely great, but the rest of it doesn't necessarily resonate with me. But this is not me ever dissing that actual art. Because how I'm going to tell you, listening to that record, that B-side off of Side of the Times, that how I'm going to tell you that shit ain't the best?
How I'm gonna tell you, and it clearly ain't for me.
I'm about to hit y'all with something.
Do you feel what I'm saying? How I'm gonna tell you that this shit ain't the best though?
I'm about to hit y'all with something right now, and then y'all think about it. And y'all think about it before.
That nigga gave me 72 tweets, 72 records from Prince, my dude. 72. That's Roll all. The part. That nigga has Obama's number in his phone. He hit me with, look on his Twitter, 72 tweets towards me directly.
Nah, I try not to.
Bro, listen to me, dog. Go buy some ascots, my dude. But do something else with your life.
But I have to say this right now. I'm going to remind y'all before we end the show. So think about it while we're doing the other stuff. I'm not worried about that. Yeah. I said before we end the show, you're going to come back around to this. You're trying to scare people away. Don't turn off. The show's not over.
We're not done.
What I want to say is, because this question requires thought.
Yeah.
What's your favorite quote unquote B-side of all time?
You gotta pay
somebody to do that.
That's not fair.
No, that's a bit.
You're talking about music history.
Here's my thing. When I think about a song that's a B-side / album track of all time, I just think about it right away. Which one it is that I would.
No. If you got it, give me yours.
No. Wait. I'm not gonna do it right now. We're gonna come back. That's why I said don't tell me right now. I said we'll do it before we get to the show. But
whatever I say,
but we got this debate though. We had
hit this.
This is one of our first early shows, though, if you remember.
I know what you're about
to say. We had Teddy Riley versus Babyface, 88 to 95.
Who?
Who is the better producer, 88 to 95, Teddy Riley or Babyface?
That's easy, Teddy Riley.
Told you, man.
Wait, you put a time cap on it.
No, we did. We said.
I mean, I'm not gonna change my mind.
We said because Teddy Riley wasn't popular in the late '90s, though.
This ain't no knock to the babyfaces. Ain't no knock to LA.
So Van's about to be wrong with you. What you say?
Them gentlemen gave us amazing records, classic records, records that my children will be singing.
Red Bull interview he did, Red Bull Academy. I'm like, you did that?
Yeah, no, I'm going to shut this down completely so it don't ever have to even be spoken about. The reason why I put Teddy Riley above is because Teddy Riley had an era. He had an actual...
The fucking New Jack Swing.
He had an actual music type that he created that everybody else followed suit because it was the time for that. Mm-hmm. He gave us the New Jack Swing. I don't care what no one says. When you create an actual genre of music, you, hands down, at that point, you are one of the greats. Because at that point, every other producer, and they might not even fuck with that type of music, if New Jack Swing was popping at that time, when you had an actual fast-paced pop record, if it wasn't by Teddy Riley, somebody was mimicking Teddy Riley.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. I love New Jack. Anybody that sits in a car with me. Anybody that sits in a car with me for too long is gonna listen to some New Jack Swing.
I actually think it should be Finesse More though.
Oh man, listen to me, dude. The New Jack Swing didn't last long enough for me. In my opinion, still to this day, if somebody came up with a jamming ass brand new Jack Swing,
that's a good question. Then I'm gonna pause that because you're on that side. I'm not gonna. We did that show already.
That's not a point that can be argued because you can sit there and rifle all fucking Babyface records and you be like, dog, you right.
That's how he did it. I'll say the error. I'm saying how somebody defined the error.
He got an error.
My thing about it is, here's the line I'll draw, Teddy Riley was a cat that could shoot the ball. He'll score 30 points a night. He'll put up numbers for you. Babyface was a smooth ass point guard because he was making cats that's dope, even doper. That's my thing about the difference between the two of them.
Perfect.
Like that's the way I look at it. So that's the line in the sand.
Teddy Riley was the man. Babyface liked making people the man.
Yes.
Difference, complete difference. So the thing is, if you're looking at the game, it's two different type of ways. You're looking at LeBron be amazing, or you're looking at Tony Parker make this entire team look amazing.
I put it this way. Babyface is John Stockton, and Teddy Riley is Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson?
No, I'm about scoring the ball. Jason Kidd isn't scoring the ball like Iverson. John Stockton's the best pure point guard of all time.
But Jason Kidd is like probably the best point guard overall.
But I'm talking about the best.
But we're talking about the overall point guard ever is probably Jason Kidd.
Overall point guard is Magic
Johnson.
Magic Johnson has got a lot of things going on.
But he's talking about pure traditional
point guard.
Jason Kidd.
John Stockton's better than Jason Kidd for my dollar.
But anyway, though.
We might have put a poll up for that.
So here's my thing about it. John Stockton is the all-time leader in assists.
Take it out. Nope.
And steals.
I'm going to give it to you, the John Stockton, reason being because of the era that he played.
Well, okay, but anyway, though. If Jordan didn't exist, I don't want to delve.
The Jazz would have a couple rings.
This might be the only time you ever hear me say this. I don't want to fall off.
But just keep playing with the young niggas, though.
Daryl, wait. I don't want to fall off into a sports conversation.
We're about to leave.
I ain't never bringing vodka cranberry to this show again.
Bro, listen.
We got a lot of time, though. We can still eat them. We good.
But here's the thing. But here's the thing I say is that I think that Babyface did a great job of making better scores, even great scores, even better scores.
Absolutely.
And that's what he did, right? While meanwhile, Teddy Riley was a juggernaut that just made things happen through his own sheer will. And that's Allen, the definition of Allen Iverson.
And I would say that he'll literally have people. This is the thing. Babyface will see some shit in the motherfucker that everybody else don't see.
Right. Yes.
And he'll build it up.
Nigga, you didn't know Tony Braxton was. That Boom Ray soundtrack hit. No, it's Anita Baker. All the songs Anita Baker songs. I was telling my wife, Tony Braxton sent Anita Baker a fucking care package every year of her life. Like, yo, I'm dead serious because nobody would know who the fuck Tony Braxton was if fucking Anita Baker was like, you know what, I'm gonna sit out. I'm with you. And my thing is, that's some old man in me, yo, I feel some type of way that, like, Tony don't fucking give props to Anita. Because Anita
got it. But the thing is that you ain't got it. This is my thing. My thing, back to the topic, dog. Babyface saw the vision. He saw this little woman with this super strong-ass voice and was like, you know what? I got these records, and I know that what I'm going to do, what I'm going to write, and what I'm going to produce going to make this shit crazy. My difference with Teddy Riley is cats new. Whatever that man touched,
give me the beat.
Was going. Whatever he touched was going. Like this dude, people don't realize all the fucking hits he did for.
Dude, he's got millions of hits.
Fucking all the Keith Sweat songs you love.
Yes, all of them. He didn't get credit for the first one. The first Keith Sweat song, he didn't get credit for that.
Yeah, absolutely, he did not do. Yeah,
that's the one I found out on the Red Bull Academy joint. He's like, yo, I produced that one. I'm like, yo,
Teddy Riley's one of my favorite producers of all time. Like, it beyond.
That's the fact, though, man.
This man created literally night. The reason why people danced so hard in the 90s was that
Teddy Riley.
That when you see them hard ass dancing ass kicking over each other, doing foot sweeps and jumping over this shit, hopping over your leg, fucking doing the fucking
Teddy Riley
shit. Teddy Riley is the reason why for all of that, dog. I don't even understand. If you listen to it and I know where it came from, the basis of it is definitely in Go-Go, but it's different.
I never knew that. I never thought about
that. If you listen to the cadence of it, if you listen to just the drums itself, nigga, that shit is Go-Go music. And we're not talking about like the new age, like kind of how it like evolved, but like the basis of go-go music. Just
the old
when you listen to
go-go.
Like Bustin' Loose and shit like that, when you listen to the basic go-go music, exactly, like you listen to the cadence of it, dog. Dog, that New Jack Swing is built all in that.
Off go-go.
All in that, dog.
I love New Jack Swing music.
Oh man, listen to me. I'm telling
you. Here's my favorite thing about New Jack Swing is that number one, it was both able to define artists that never really transcended that sound.
Yo.
It was able to amplify artists that were already great other ways, and it was easily adaptable for a lot of different people. Here's my thing about New Jack Swing, though.
Yeah.
Is that do we get to a point? I agree with you. I said it ended too quick. Did it become a niche sound that didn't evolve?
I'm gonna tell you exactly why New Jack Swing died, dog. In my opinion. It's because niggas stopped dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Real shit. That is the literal point of New Jack. When you hear a New Jack Swing joint, you're going to immediately start dancing in some form or fashion. It is built on the premises of you doing hard dancing.
What was the best album of the New Jack Swing era?
Oh. Ooh, come on, dude.
I'll tell you.
You might go with the Bobby joint.
Yes, you have to.
You got to, because he produced the whole thing.
You have to go with Don't Be Cruel.
Thank you.
You have to. But that's not Bobby, though. That's Jimmy Jammy Terry Lewis.
Oh, fuck, bro. It's Jimmy Jammy Terry Lewis.
No, I'm talking to Bobby. That was the second album.
Oh, Bobby. No.
The first one is the one that nobody knows about. The Bobby album is the Black Street.
No.
Dude, this motherfucker did Jane Child. I Don't Want to Fall in Love.
Let's go back. Jane Child, I Don't Want to Fall in Love is one of my favorites.
And it was a white, and people don't even know that guy.
These think 90s, my dude. I'm going to say this, okay? I got to go with the First Guy album.
Ooh.
Damn near every record on that album is the same.
That motherfucker is.
And that was the great thing. That was the great thing about
that. That was literally the vehicle.
Here's the thing, and that was the great thing about it is that you had both of these musics running simultaneously, and both of them had their lane. And that's the thing I appreciate about Babyface, and the thing I appreciate about Teddy Riley is they both had their lane.
And they could both live
at the same time.
And dude, and that was beautiful about it. It couldn't have been no time.
And other people have room too.
Absolutely, other people have.
Think about the revolutionary sounds you were having at that point in time. Is that you had both of them going on? You had the rise of gangster rap happening at the same time. Like you this had was
beautiful.
You had a lot of dope things. You had the East Coast, that raw East Coast sound was happening at the same time.
You're talking about the Bomb Squad, Public Enemy, like. First off, you're never gonna hear production like that ever again in your life. Just off of sample clearance alone.
Yeah.
You're talking about this time with like the Bomb Squad.
But what's so crazy is
records of like you will never hear that will never exist in music again, dog. Like,
so when you think about New Jack City, the movie.
Yeah.
When they had the guy in the movie.
No, I'm saying what song do you think about when you see New Jack City?
You already know.
There's two songs, right? I'll give you two songs.
I mean,
maybe three on the small pinky though. On the small.
Okay, check it out. So you already got to go with Color Me Bad.
Yep.
I wasn't
even considering that.
You have to, and the reason being is because the group, the
gang, I was saying now
the movie was called CMB, and they named the actual group that made Cause Sex You Up CMB.
I wouldn't know. I was saying where anybody now would remember.
That anybody right now will remember.
Call Me Bad. They're fucking.
It's on the soundtrack. You have to give it.
I was thinking three other songs.
What? Go ahead.
I was thinking Living in New Jack City.
Easy.
I was thinking about the joint with Queen Latifah and all them. That's Taylor Riley too. And that was in New Jack Hustle.
Absolutely.
That was the 3,000 songs I think that were the pinnacle songs of that movie.
Absolutely.
You were like, oh, those three songs though, regardless of your age though, if you hear that, maybe even if you were a kid, you can figure out like, oh, that's something I heard.
Check it out. Teddy Riley's great because he had a movie named after a genre of music that he created.
That's so
cool. Yeah, that's right. There you go. That's what I'm saying. I said it on the podcast.
A movie that we, as terrible as it is, when it is not
it's not terrible, man.
Boy.
For 90, now you gotta think 90,
91. No, it did not age well. That man.
It did not age well.
New Jack City just, Nino Brown just turned into Blade.
But that's the thing, though, man.
He came back as Blade.
It's the fucked up part, though. This is how we have it all fucked up in our minds, though, is that we look at like certain things though that happen though. We no good movie thing because we have access to be able to see all this movie shit though. You know what I'm saying? Like we access them all, so we look at some bullshit. I heard a motherfucker say that fucking what's the movie that's just coming out with fucking the remake that is made. I can't remember the next one. No, the one that just came out with Blade Runner.
Oh, Blade Runner.
My buddy said they didn't fuck with the first Blade Runner.
But it's not a remake, though. It's a sequel.
But I'm saying, though, motherfuckers saying that like, they ain't shit, though. The new one is dope.
But the thing is you have to keep in
but
mind.
But I'm just saying, though.
You have to keep in mind when you saw it.
That's my point.
Right. If you saw Blade Runner when Blade Runner first came out, that shit was revolutionary. If you never seen Blade Runner before and watched it in 2017, you would probably be like, dude, what the fuck is this?
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. Next
but
month.
But that's my point, though. Right. New Jack was like, dude, New Jack ran
until 2013.
But I'm going to say this, though. Listen, as a person who literally saw it, I don't know what the fuck my parents was on.
No. I saw my daddy.
I don't know what the fuck my parents was on, though.
With my little that's ass, though. My little 10-year-old ass sitting up in there like,
right, that's what I'm on. Like, I come from that era where sex scenes come on and they cover your eyes. Like, that.
It wasn't no titties in there, though.
Old girls that was in She's Gotta Have It showed her titties in that motherfucker that Nino smashed. That was
no, she didn't. Money. No, I rewatched it. She's not.
She didn't show her titties.
No, she had just a bra on, though, holding her pants over her chest.
That was still too much. My mom.
No. My pops is like, he looked at me like he wanted to figure out what he wanted to do, though, but he looked back. But it was so funny because my dad was trying to look.
My dad always operated underneath this. He said, if it's something that you could see by just opening up the blinds, I'm not gonna really act like you can't watch that on a movie.
I'm not mad at the lines.
But don't jump the shark too soon on that other shit.
Way more Boys in the Hood though scene was way more.
Boys in the Hood joint where after he took a girl to drive, air quotes, drive the stick. And he smashed it down. I think that.
Yeah, and on top of that, with Nia Long, too, though.
Yeah, Nia Long, too. I'm trying to think if that might have been the first sex scene that I've ever seen in the movie.
No, the first titties I saw in the movie theater was Coming to America, though.
First titties I ever
saw was Coming to America.
I don't remember the movie theater that well. It's too long ago.
Your parents are great parents, though.
My parents, like I said before, we were doing this thing. My parents were had a little competition there.
Coming to America before your parents probably got divorced then.
Listen.
I'm not worried about coming into America. I'm just talking about what's the first time I was at.
But I'm saying, I'm telling you,
you're older. You're slightly older than me too. So
I'm just saying, there ain't nothing wrong with being older than a motherfucker at this point.
I'm gonna get into something though, Vanna.
We was talking about before the early though. We were talking about two different topics though. This gonna be a long podcast. We gonna
wrap it up. Hey man, I hope we entertain.
No. People love to your name pop up. Motherfuckers will download.
You're the most famous person on this show.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking verified on Twitter. And you're more famous than I.
Hey man, I want to hear that shit.
So, I want to go to the idea we were talking about before.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to tricking or you want to go talk about like a destiny? We were talking about how like you working and you fucked up.
Let's go to the second one. Let's talk about that. What's that?
Destiny and being fucked up?
Yeah.
No, okay, let's go there. So, we were having a conversation about how like you work hard for so much though because of job.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of great insight on that though, and you cut yourself off. I want you to go in on that, like, because you say you had a conversation and you
yeah.
think, because no, Van, yeah. because people understand, like, Van, like, dude, I have my older brother did not know about you. I put him on you, he's like, yo, I downloaded that Megatron right. Majors, though. Like, he downloaded it for me, though. He texted me, though, like, right. yo, I downloaded your nigga album, though.
Right.
I got that Megatron Majors, though. And he's a professor at Wash U now.
Right, you gotta tell me, man. I love you, bro, man.
So, like, this is the thing, though. Like, I get mad at the game, but at the same time, I can't get mad at the game because the game is the game.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking somebody like you is supposed
that
to be.
Makes sense,
no,
that's the, black, that's
no,
the blackest because, sentence I've heard all day.
No, he
said
the same thing.
But I understood.
Every last one of the times that he said this shit is meant something.
I followed you.
Okay. Because you're supposed to be better than. I'm saying, but you fucking a rhymer, man.
Bro, listen to me.
No, and I know it's even worse. I understand. I don't want to get into some old depression shit, though. No, because I'll be like, yo, like, I can't rhyme 2 + 3 and everything. Those motherfucking rhyme fucking circles.
If you want to rhyme.
And not make it like on some more like. Lyrical miracle shit, like right. nigga, you gotta go get a dictionary type shit. But the motherfucker has all this shit though, and he has all this different pedigree set up, and it's like, why this motherfucker here though from the Ludo? Uh-huh. And then you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like then I feel like a thing that I have a whole another conspiracy thing about how to think with the Lou and all that kind of shit though. So that's why
we're going to
that. I want to do something because
you ain't putting Nelly raping nobody on the fucking.
Yo, list. You got
to chill. No.
So this episode was so long. When we get with Van, you know how it is. There's so many great conversations and things we had to talk about. So we're going to split this into two parts for you. This is the end of part one. Going to go into a little bit of music off Van's new project. It's a dope one. Check it out and be prepared for part two coming up after this weekend. We appreciate the love as always. Keep subscribing to The Scenario on the Stroud Low Cash Network page. And also check out the Lando Calrissian Experience, our sister podcast. You can go over there and subscribe to them as well. We love y'all as always. Email us too. We didn't get a lot of emails this week, but we definitely want to get in the emails. StraightOLC@gmail.com. StraightOLC on Twitter and the Stroud Low Cash fan page on Facebook.
We're running everything, nigga. We're better than all of them. If you have a problem with that shit, I will foot sweep your mother down a flight of steps. Nigga, I'm that gangster.
So my issue all real quick.
Oh, shit.
As I stand to the sky, yeah. Seeing planes leave, and I'm wishing it was I. But underneath it all, yeah. Lower to the ground, it's a kid who inside frown, outside smile. Knowing that all alone while inside crowds. Hard to see the realness when the fakeness surrounds. People vying for the crown, covered by a shroud. Yeah. A total lack of vision, help them not see what they miss. Pop a couple bottles, niggas thinking that they live. Yeah. Chilling in the V-Guy. Yeah. Club DJ mixed and niggas single in with T-Guys. Yeah. Hoes wanna be by. Yeah. Fake ass piece of chain hanging to the Levi's. And then they start over, wash, rinse, repeat. Now they call that hit grind. That shit is weak, yeah. But I guess I can't speak. Cause I ain't getting radio play. But everything that's on the radio's getting. And I ain't for payola, but I got a gang of soldiers that if I perform, man, get my songs, they can blow the word. You can't say the same, cause when your fans come and see you, they be sitting bored waiting for you to perform the same. I'm a giant to the feet. My name rings bells overseas. While you're on your knees, giving dough for BDS spins and a chance to rise. Wow. I get respect from the same niggas you idolize. So indirectly, I'm your idol, guys.
Life is in orbit. If I ever die, my city cannot afford it. Show still at a single, I told them I was here. My life changed the day that they played it on the air. Said a prayer to God and I told them I am grateful. Niggas fear change, so they dissing me on Facebook. Niggas can't relate to me, a sign of the time. But go to Pine Line and they will tell you I am Nas. Grown men popping they dick, you can't compile that. Please contact Gucci Man and give his style back. I am the Redeemer, each lyric you fear it, nigga. So look yourself in the mirror and then pull the trigger. Niggas wanna turn me in the pot, cause I won't stop. But where was y'all when I was sleeping at the bus stop? The era of the bullshit is over, you a part of that. Nigga, close your eyes and die from a heart attack. Poe.
Drop that new shit. Exclusive.
Corny ass shit.